We're both Christians and members of the esoteric community. This podcast is our ongoing discussion on various occult topics and practices. A lot of Christians today are afraid of anything more mystical than a cup of soup, while a lot of people, especially young ones, can't see the harm in playing in places angels fear to tread. Hopefully, we can offer another perspective in the Numinous Experience. Welcome to the Numinous Experience.
Hello.
Hello. Glad you're here with us. Today's topic of discussion is, can Christians participate in the occult, and what do they have to bring to the table?
It's a great introductory topic.
Yes, especially I'm sure many of you have read the descriptions and listened to some of the sound bites involved on our little pages, wherever you get podcasts. And I'm sure some of you have wondered, what are a bunch of Christians doing on here?
Right? I have wondered.
Yeah, I have wondered too, honestly. What does Christianity have to do with the occult? No one usually typically pictures Christians in the occult.
Which is so funny because up until 60 years ago, it was Christians in the West that were Christians were the ones pushing the occult boundaries. Christians were the one passing all that stuff down. It's really very recent that it changed hands.
Huh. Well, can you elaborate on that?
Well, yeah. Part of it, honestly, is just that in the West, Christendom has been sort of the driving social and cultural force for, golly, since Charlemagne at least, right?
Yes, very much so.
Anyway, so just, yeah, it's, everyone is Christian. Used to be sort of the general feeling. So if you wanted to get into the more esoteric subjects, all the people that you were doing things with, whether it was in a circle or wherever, they were all Christian.
Well, some may argue that the ones who were not conquered were still practicing paganism. And say that the occult was more in the paganism than in the Christian. Just playing a little devil's advocate, because this is from some of the arguments that I've read and experienced. Not arguments,
that's okay.
But discussions.
That's okay. And honestly, that's because they don't know history. There's been a rewriting of history in the last 60 years that says that basically that magic and the occult and esoteric, whatever, has been passed down by secret pagans and blah blah blah. It's not true.
Pagans that have been trying to carry out and try and keep their religion alive.
Yeah, that's not a thing.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying that Christianity in the first millennium AD pretty much stamped out everything.
It did.
Yeah, and that any traditions that survived that had a really hard time with the Inquisition. So I'm just saying, you know, what actually happened is that the pagan traditions were, they were subsumed into Christianity.
Yeah, they were assimilated.
I mean, it's They were. For example, it is a recognized fact that the Catholic Mass is actually has pagan roots.
So as some religious holidays as well. You have All Hallows Eve, and you have Easter, and you have
Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. Yeah, no. That's exactly the thing. Christianity, boy, around the time they started having the councils where they decided that everybody that every that you're I'm in the right and those guys are in the wrong, we should probably kill all of them. Once they started having those kinds of discussions, pretty much they'd lost whatever, in my opinion, whatever living that they had received, and they replaced it with whatever they could find.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So, and honestly, I've looked at a lot of sites, read a lot of books by people who have declared themselves to be pagans or at least not Christian. And I look through their tables and I look through their illustrations and I read their descriptions. As far as I can tell, most of their stuff has its roots in the Golden Dawn stuff that was released by Israel Regardie. He broke his oaths and released all of the Rosicrucian material that the Golden Dawn had because he was afraid that the Golden Dawn would disappear if he didn't. But the side effect of that is that every esoteric order everywhere now has a handbook of how to do things, and they just adapt what's in there to fit their circumstances.
Gotcha. Can you clarify really quick this individual in the Golden Dawn? Because I wasn't familiar with the Golden Dawn until you have explained it to me in
Oh.
earlier conversations.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah. So the Golden Dawn is a Rosicrucian order. I'm not sure. I don't believe the original order still exists. You can find offshoots of it in several places, but the original order, as far as I'm aware, basically the last person who was a member of the actual original Golden Dawn that I'm aware of, that publicly was a member, was Dion Fortune, and she didn't continue the Golden Dawn. She started her own order.
Gotcha. What did she start? What order?
Hers was something about the light. Now I can't remember now. Hold on. Just look it up. Like a good technophile does.
Yes. So while you're looking that up and having Google find it. So basically, all of these roots, all the pagan, holidays and traditions and stuff like that have been subsumed by Christianity. And to be able to practice the occult over the generations, one would have to at least profess to be Christian to be able to be led into these circles to practice Christianity, but also practice these occult exercises. I don't want to be redundant saying practices, but you know what
It's
I mean.
okay. I know what you
Just
mean.
to
Well,
sum it up.
to sum it up, the orders like Rosicrucians, Freemasons have and have had stuff. Boy, there's a bunch. I mean, there are a bunch of orders. Dion Fortune's order, by the way, was the Fraternity of the Inner Light.
Okay, gotcha.
It was renamed later to the Society of the Inner Light.
And that can be Wikipedia'd if anybody wants to know more about that, I'm
Yeah,
sure.
for sure. Yeah, it's up there. So yeah,
So
Rosicrucianism, I'm sorry, all these orders are Christian. There are offshoots that are more magical and less Christian in this, at the same time period, but they were all offshoots of these Christian orders.
Gotcha.
And they were, when I say Christian, I don't just mean that they were orders with Christians in them. I mean, they were orders that predominantly saw themselves as being a part of the great work of Christ. You know, like they feel that Christ is at the head of their order, that they are serving him. I mean, they were quite religious.
That makes sense. Now, there's going to be a lot,
I can already feel it already, because there's a sensitivity of, you know, a lot of genealogical trauma of, you know, the Christian leadership over history, you know, killing off all the other religions, essentially. Where am I getting to with this? I don't know. I guess what I'm trying to express is that I feel like some of our listeners are going to go, well, Christianity is evil because we killed everybody. But it wasn't us. And we're just here to talk about what's happened through history, regardless if it was good or bad.
Well, at least we didn't sacrifice our children.
Yeah. That's a good point.
I'm just going to throw that in there.
Okay, that works. That works.
On a general note, Christianity had believed that there was one sacrifice and that it was unnecessary for anyone else to be sacrificed. I say in general because obviously there were some weird bits in the Inquisition, and there's a whole weird anti-witch craze that involved lots of killing innocent women in the after that. But I'm just saying, in general, Christianity, at the very least, has believed in, you know, not murdering their own children. So that's something.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And if you're talking about wars, well, every religion anywhere has been the cause of war, so they don't get, you know. Pagans, the traditions they claim they're coming from were certainly not peace-loving, gentle religions. They were every bit as rough around the edges as Old Testament Judaism. So
that's a good point. There's that too. So, okay. Off, you know, moving on from that, we're back. So the traditions have been carried on through the generations until now, and you cited about 60 years ago.
Feels like, yeah.
Yeah,
I say that. I mean, you know, Wicca and witchcraft, sir, I believe were, I'm not super familiar with their, like the timelines or anything. I think they were around a little bit before that. But the 60s, I think, 60s and 70s are really when that, like, started to take off, from what I understand.
Okay. So they're trying to break off and branch off from Christianity and try to return to that. But we also have, Christianity has a part in it too. And we can be a part of that family of the occult, I guess. Is that a better way to say it? I'm only laughing because I'm laughing at my own ineptitude of being able to define it, I guess, if that makes sense.
What everyone needs to remember is that we are consummate professionals. Don't try this at home, or if you do, do better than us. Yes, do Christians have a place at the occult table? Of course we do. Of course we do. There are still lots of orders. There are still many people that are participating in the esoteric and occult world that are Christians, and not just, you know, Easter and Christmas Christians, but there every Sunday and participating during the week and doing their best to bring their kids up in those teachings and traditions.
Mm-hmm. Which the teachings are to be kind and to love everyone. That's not a bad thing.
I agree. I think we have a few more that are worthwhile, but if you at least get that, you're in an okay place.
Yeah. I'm just trying to find more things in common, because I do want our listeners to know that we do have things in common with them, and we do have a place at the table. You know, we're here to help, right?
I think so. And I will say that I feel that most of the people that I know that are participating as Christians in the esoteric world do not feel that the other religious persuasions do not have a place.
Exactly.
So that was really poorly worded. Let me try that again. The people that I know that are Christians participating in the esoteric world believe that everyone has a place as long as that place doesn't hurt somebody else.
Exactly. That we're all kind. Be good to everyone. That's what it all boils down to. You have a place, and we have a place, and we all have a place.
I agree. So we've gotten to, can Christians participate in the cult, in the occult? What do they have to bring to the table? Well, I'm going to point out, first of all, when I said earlier for bringing to the table, as far as I can tell, the Rosicrucians, which is a very Christian esoteric group, unless you're talking about Amorc, and then theirs are, they've kind of gone a different way with it. But traditionally, the Rosicrucians are very Christian, and the Golden Dawn's Rosicrucian teachings are at the base of a lot of esoteric teaching right now in the Western world. And, you know, I'm not even trying to say, and if I said this earlier, I misspoke. I'm not trying to say that the only thing that people who practice witchcraft or whatever have, they took from the Rosicrucian. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that if you go online and you find people speaking from the perspective of witchcraft, just as an example, and they're sharing various minutiae of their practice, the charts, the tables, the diagrams, it's actually uncanny how many of them are lifted straight from the book called The Golden Dawn by Israel Regardi. I was actually surprised. Only because I have the book, I hadn't really looked through it that much. And I happened to be looking through it the other day for something, and I ran across about a dozen of these tables, and I was just like, what? Wild stuff.
So the biggest thing to be gained, though, however, is that there's a lot of similarities then in the esoteric world between Christians practicing in the occult and people who's and non-Christians.
Oh yeah, as far as I can tell, everybody looks a lot like everybody else wherever things came from originally. I mean, in the witchy circles, they have magical tools, they work at an altar of some kind inside of a circle, in groups that wear ceremonial robes. And if you go inside of a Christian order, they are a group working inside of a circle with ceremonial tools at an altar wearing ceremonial robes. Or if you go to one of the left-hand lodges, there aren't that many, but if you can find one, or just find, you know, a left-hand path practitioner, you're going to find that more often than not, they work inside of a circle at an altar with ceremonial tools, wearing ceremonial clothes. It's the details differ, but the central bits, the roots, they don't deviate very far.
That's kind of neat, looking at it that way. It sort of unifies everyone together. But not sort of, it really does, in the, at least the medium and the mode, in the way things are done.
Yeah, the main differences outside of details just seem to be what people are trying to get from it all.
Yeah.
And maybe, honestly, maybe that is what Christians have to bring to the table more than anything else. I feel like there are a lot of orders that their main focus is, what can I get? Mm-hmm. You know, I read a book, and it was a great book, by a gal talking about witchcraft, where she was talking about manifesting the things that you want. Mm-hmm. And she described it very well. She did it in a way that was interesting to read. sticks in your mind because she turned it basically into a story that was something that was easier to remember. She did a fabulous job. And you know, the example was spot on. I mean, anyone could pick up her example and use it, and they would be able to manifest, you know, manifest changes in their life the way that she described. I mean, anyone, right? Witches, mm-hmm. Christians, anybody, whatever. But her focus was more on the things that she needed. Or, you know, her being a proxy for the reader, the things that the reader wanted and needed. And the thing about the Christian groups is it's not that they escape that, but there's another dimension to it where there's a lot more focus from what I've seen on trying to help others to meet their needs, whether they're aware that you're working on it or not. You know, knowing that your cousin, his marriage is on the rocks, and you know, doing work to try to help them to, you know, see their way through it and find the best solution for them and their family. Doing work for your neighbor down the road who's been sick with, you know, whatever, with bad arthritis for a long time, and you know, you're hoping that they'll have some relief or find, you know, at least be able to find, you know, some light in their situation. This is a concern that I hear. It's not that it doesn't exist in other traditions, but rather that the Christian traditions that I've personally seen, this is a focus.
Mm-hmm.
The main focus is, what do we need to do so that we're in the right place so that we can help other people? And it's not what, it's not that thing we're doing today. It's that thing we're doing every day or every month, you know, however often they meet or however often they work. That is like one of the main focuses. And that, I think, is something great that Christians have to bring to the table.
Yeah.
And it goes back to, you know, the origins of our religion. We believe that there was somebody who sacrificed himself for others. And so in the same way, Christians in any aspect of their life should be following that example and looking to others before they look to better themselves. At least, how do I put it? They look to help other people before they worry about themselves, I think is a better way to put it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So that's what I think Christians have to bring to the table.
We're here to help. We want to help. I like that. How can we help?
Well, we're trying to do a podcast right now.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's true. And that helps. We're opening up discussions, opening up those channels.
I hope it'll help. We'll see. And it's going to depend on you, our listeners.
Our listeners, yes. I hope you guys can see our intentions and feel the energy and the excitement we have for this. We want to open this up to help.
Yep. So. This is a nonprofit gig, so really the only way you can help is to you know, pass it on.
Like and
if
subscribe.
You're interested.
Yeah. So thanks for bearing with us on our new installment today, and pass it along to anyone else you think would enjoy listening to our conversations. So thanks for listening to the Numinous Experience, and we'll talk to you all next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Numinous Experience. If you enjoyed it, please rate it wherever you found it. Feel free to share it, tell a friend, and generally pass it on. Thanks.